ladies.
It's Cocktail Corner on 95BFM. Thanks to Boutique Connection, connecting you to boutique wine.
Just to quickly summarise, Boutique Connection is your source for the most underground and delicious wines in Aotearoa, from all those little guys that have a sweet hobby and are really good at their craft.
So many little guys.
Is that the brass tacks of the situation, Renee, yeah, from Moi and Boutique Wines?
Absolutely.
Boutique Connection.
It's actually quite a lot of hard work to kind of
meet these people,
keep on the pulse and like know what's
that's
up.
The cool thing though, right?
I love
it's
it.
The chat, it's the search, it's like surf, yeah, you know, surfing,
it's like treasure, it's hunting, like,
if you get the bug for it. I do, you know what, I think there's a lot of similarities between music and wine.
Oh yeah,
you know, you're just always out there looking for that next thing, looking for the next thing, you, yeah, know, trying all these different styles.
Yeah,
Matt, it's the same thing, it's the same passion. That's why, you know, I feel like there's a sweet synergy here, I reckon.
Yeah, I've actually heard that quite a lot in the last couple of years, and I really think it'd be cool at some point to like start matching these wines to a song, mm-hmm, and we can play it afterwards.
Yes, of course.
So I'm not on the pulse with music. I love music.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, I love it, but I'm definitely not like, mm-hmm, what, you know.
Well,
what's
I'm not
new.
On the pulse with wine. I'm like,
so let's
there's like
share.
Five different types of wine in my book, and that I'm like, oh, okay.
Yum. Not yum. What are the other three?
The red wine, white wine, sparkling wine.
I love that we're expanding your knowledge, Johnny.
I feel like I've got a good palate for wine, but I just do not know much about it.
Have you retained like some of the knowledge that we've tried to impart over the weeks?
I've figured out that Pet Nat is some sort of weird before Champagne sparkling wine.
Yeah, I love your French brand.
I'm sorry, I apologize, I'm just being a little brat.
Really good.
I'm just trying to open this because today I brought a wine with a cork in it.
Yes. Too many.
Get in there.
Oh,
nice.
Sounds great.
Great sound.
Love that sound.
Renee, do many people in Aotearoa still cork their wine?
Not many, if any. So there's like a... there's a lot of history there because being at the bottom of the world for ages, there was a sneaky suspicion that we kept getting like the not great batches of cork. So like all the best corks would go to Europe, like parts of France, you know, really expensive wineries there, and we would get like the duds down here. And so it got to a point where they did measurements of how many bottles out of a run became cork tainted.
Yes.
And we can go into that. That's a mold affected thing. And,
okay.
But basically it came to some crazy number, like 8%. Mm-hmm. So if you think like 8% of your
heavy duty,
limited edition
wine spoiled.
Gets spoiled, like that's just crazy.
Apparently, you know, this is something that may or may not be on people's radar, but the fact that a wine or something else might get shipped on a shipping container, the ship has to cross the equator, which is bloody hot. And you could have a container sitting out in the sun on the deck of a ship just getting some sweet, sweet equator heat.
And
that can spoil the container. And you just don't even think about it, you know. You might be like, why does this batch of beer or wine taste a bit funky?
Yeah.
Might have just had a bit too long in the sun on the deck of a ship.
I mean, that's happened. There's actually a real science to it. If you know that your wine is going at a certain time of year, you might bottle it with a slightly lower volume in the bottle, and different dissolved gas levels. And there's a whole lot to it, actually. And it's funny because that's actually where one wine style developed. Madeira was actually... beautiful wines put in a barrel and then shipped around the world back in the olden days with the wooden boats.
Back in the olden times.
And they become Madeirized on the journey. So you get this kind of cooked character.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously you don't want that with your Sauvignon Blanc.
Are you a mulled wine fan, Renee?
I secretly love mulled wine.
Why secretly?
Or glue
wine.
Is
it Bogan? Or...
I wouldn't say it's Bogan. It's just kind of like, I don't know, it's a naughty treat because it's sweet and it's spicy and it's got nothing to do with the wine.
It's time and place, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Cinnamon and some orange and
oh, it's so good.
Okay. Renee, back to this wine that you brought in for us this evening. What's on the BFM desk right now?
We have a beautiful, one of my favourite varieties in the whole world, Cabernet Franc. I love Cabernet Franc, and I don't know if you remember, but a few weeks ago we talked about Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Franc and how they kind of had a soiree together and made a baby called Cabernet Sauvignon. So Cabernet Franc is like the parent of Cabernet Sauvignon.
It's a bit more old school with a bit of a beard.
I'm running through my knowledge of sideways at the moment. I'm just trying to think if Cab Franc is what he calls flabby.
Merlot.
Is Merlot what he calls flabby?
Yeah.
Which is what impacted the Merlot sales.
He hates Merlot,
That's right, okay.
Silly movie.
That's great though. It's a good movie.
Yeah, we do love it.
It's so bold. Merlot's always bold.
So what do we know about Cab? What's the Cab Franc story? What do we know about Cab Franc?
Okay, so Cabernet Franc is pretty much everywhere in the world. It's a typical Bordeaux variety, so they put it in one of the it's one of the main varieties in Bordeaux blends. So Bordeaux, the place in France, but some of the greatest examples come from a place in the Loire Valley called Chinon, and you get some really cool minty characters there. Not green, but minty. So it's sort of like, if you think of like after dinner chocolate mints.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So good. Secret love of mine as well.
I've never had a wine and gone, there's a bit of mint there.
Neither. I can't. Yeah. I can't recall that.
Yeah. I mean, but it's also grown all over the world and you can get really different characters like raspberry and blueberry, maybe a bit of chili as well, like a little chili burn. So I brought... This is actually grown in Matakana.
Oh, yeah, so pretty nearby.
Just up the road. Yeah. And the story of Yakutin, I actually don't know how to pronounce it, but I'm going to say Yakutin, is really cool. It's such a cool, the story of the family behind it. So a friend of mine, Oleg, he's actually from Kazakhstan. And he moved over here, I think it was 2012-ish. And just decided to take over a little vineyard.
Any history at all? Did he have any knowledge of how to grow grapes?
I don't know. But I really want to get him on here because he is legit.
He's a party.
Passionate, man. He's got so much energy. He's so great. And he cannot stop talking about wine. Like, you get him chatting about his wine and it will just keep going. So he's really passionate in the growing side. So... we were talking about Cabernet Franc together today, actually. I was just chatting about this wine before coming on air, and he was saying that's his favourite variety, mainly because he loves to grow it. So I actually find, from the other side, I find it really hard to make a good Cabernet Franc. So the winemaking perspective, I find it a real challenge. But from a growing perspective, he just loves it.
Yes.
So it's quite interesting to get those different angles.
Is it pretty, is it like climate picky, or is it like, is it not picky on the climate and then once you've actually done the harvesting after that is where it becomes tricky or what?
I think getting it ripe, like where you're happy with the phenolic ripeness and in the flavour profile is tricky. But it's kind of like a weed as well. It does grow anywhere, pretty much.
Do you think the fact that he has the experience growing it also helps his intuition when he's winemaking?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know your vines, you know your fruit, you're tasting it year after year. And I think like being really intimate with the vines is super helpful.
Yes. But yourself, a winemaker hustler, going around buying packets of grapes... They're called, are they packets or parcels?
Whatever you want. I call them parcels.
Parcels.
But I like packets.
You, Renee from Wild Wines, just on the hustle, finding these random berries from around Aotearoa. What do you look for if you are making a seasonal variety and just buying grapes on the random?
Flavour.
You can taste the flavour just from eating them raw.
Absolutely.
You pop it in your mouth. You ever go out of the grape and you go like, yeah, that's going to make some sick wine.
Yeah, through like experience. I mean, it takes quite a few years to build that up. It took me ages, to be honest. Like, some people are real natural and they got it straight away. It took me probably, I'd say, like, if I'm being honest, about 8 years.
Holy.
Of eating grapes.
Of eating grapes and making the wine. Following through.
Is it about a one-to-one, say you've got like an extremely nuanced wine, do you think a lot of the time that reflects something in the grape, or like how often do you put something in your mouth, you go, yeah, that's going to be killer, and then it comes out and you're like, oh, I did a bung job on this.
Never, that never happens.
That doesn't
happen.
What are you
talking about? No. I think that has actually happened a couple of times. I had this vision for a Viognier that I made, and I think, looking back in hindsight, I picked it too early.
Mm-hmm.
So the vision was to make this real, like, unctuous style Viognier, and it did not really follow through. I made, like, a totally different style. Mm. It was still yummy, but it just wasn't what I...
You knew the grape
like,
had
you're
something
going for
else
top 10.
Store.
You're like, this is going to be, like, knock it out of the park.
Mm. I'm going to be this amazing, famous winemaker after this. And then,
That's
but yeah,
right.
So it does take a while, and it's really humbling. You've just got to be prepared to be humbled by seasons, grapes, anything that can happen in the winery sometimes that you're just like, wow, I did not expect to get that yeast in there or whatever, you know. Like,
that's cool. It's good to be philosophical, you know, it's cool.
Now, Renee from Wild Wines, I'm going to pull it back to this particular glass that you've just poured. I just had a whiff. It is a grunter on the nose.
That's a grunter, eh? Yeah, that's
it is a real deal grunter. What's going on? It's just, like
cool.
How it is.
Yeah.
I have not tried this wine yet.
No way.
This is quite exciting. It's called Old Chimney, which is hilarious because...
So fitting.
Yeah,
it's so fitting.
It's quite like that, eh?
Yeah. How strong is it?
It's got this real sort
of... Is it 14?
Ashen character.
14%?
It is... Yeah, 13.5%, which...
Okay.
It's got legs.
Oleg said 2020, COVID vintage, and it was really hot. I don't know if you remember that year, but I do.
Yeah.
Really hot and dry, and it was trying to get the phenolics right, because that doesn't always happen in terms of, like, in timing with the sugar. Mm-hmm. And so the sugar kept climbing, and then he was like, okay, it's ready. And he picked it one day before lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And this wine, he was like, it's just so grunty. It's massive, like, in comparison to the one he made the year before. Yes. He did nothing else different.
Yeah, it's just the climate.
Yeah.
And COVID-19.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a really cool story, because up in Matakana, there's a winery called Matakana Estate.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got all these different winemakers in that community use the same winery.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the lockdown, they had to go in different days. So he went on a Monday, and then the next winemaker went in on a Tuesday.
Yep.
And they had to sort of make each other's wine.
Yes.
It was really, it's a really cool story.
Yeah, it's quite sweet.
Yeah.
It's like a big little community. Little
love
thing
that.
Going on.
Cool. So I'm giving it a swirl.
It's got legs. Do you notice those,
getting
John?
Getting in there, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Ooh, yum.
Wow. Oh my God, I was from the aroma, I thought I was in for something completely different.
Yeah.
But this, again, it's got wonderful, it's wonderful on the palate, as in like the viscosity and the taste.
Mm.
Very easy drink. What the hell is with you and these really easy drinking delicious wines? Renee just comes in and is like, look, I've got this really delicious easy drinking wine.
She was...
Careful on the reputation, guys.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, okay, we're in for some schooling here. This is going to be grunty. It's going to taste a bit
honestly, there's
OTT.
Some serious talent out there that aren't being snapped up by massive wineries, and I don't know why. These amazing winemakers are doing
God.
These.
Oh, God. Sweet berry wine.
It's to our benefit, you know, that they're not getting snapped up, because then we can drink these lovely little boutique connection little, you know, steals.
Old Chimney is so yummy. It's so like round and fruity and like soft.
Could you tell your friend from Kazakhstan that this is the most delicious wine that I've ever tasted from Matakana?
Yeah, oh my gosh, this is so good. And the cool thing about it is he only adds a tiny bit of sulfur at the crusher when they're still grapes, and then a tiny bit just before bottling, and that's it. Real gentle, soft approach to, like, he doesn't do any pump overs. It's just keeping the cap wet. So it's, this is essentially just the grapes doing its thing. So yeah, Oleg, this is delicious. He said, please be honest on air. Like, don't hold back. And I'm like, well, I can't find anything wrong with it.
Renee, as you well know, I'm just like an amateur wine drinker. But this is delicious.
So good. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Should we give it one of these?
Oh, yeah.
And these Briscoes wine glasses.
Yeah.
Briscoes. Thanks, Briscoes.
I mean, yeah.
So good. Man, another great wine. Can you get this on
he's just about to release
Boutique
this.
Connection? Oh, it's not even
this
on Boutique
is
Connection.
Legit not released yet. Okay. So, but it will be in the next. I think this is going to go in the Christmas box. So okay. If you're thinking about it, sign up. BoutiqueConnection.co.nz.
All the most underground wines.
Oh my gosh.
What? Show your friends how cool you are and get cool some underground wine in your life.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically the gist. It's like, hey, I don't recognize this bottle.
Well, like, that's so cool. It's not on the market yet, buddy.
It's made from a guy from Kazakhstan. That's why.
All right. Hey, Renee from Boutique Connection Wild Wines. Another just knocking it out of the park once again. We'll see you next Thursday.
Your shout, yeah? Cocktail Corner on 95BFM. Thanks to Boutique Connection, connecting you to boutique wine.